I'm Dina Lewis, and you're listening to As Seen by Us.
Straight to the pinnacle, rose from the bottom in intervals. Dreamed of the visuals and watch it come to life just like a miracle.
So on today's episode, I'm really excited to welcome a friend of mine to the show, Julian. Julian is a fellow actor, singer, and songwriter. Julian and I actually met while taking acting class together with Anthony Abeson in the city. Shout out to A Money and the Tuesday and Thursday 7 p.m. crew, whom you'll probably get to meet a few more friends from class in upcoming episodes. Julian was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, and has always considered himself to be a creative person, gravitating towards singing in particular. That's in fact how Julian and I bonded in acting class, over singing. And yes, folks, there is a crossover between acting and singing. I truly believe you can't sing without telling a story. Julian can be seen in short films, on web series, and is currently producing his own album to be released later this year. Today, Julian and I are reading a scene from Pipeline by Dominique Morisseau. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Julian.
Hey, what's up, Dana? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for doing the scene with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be doing a scene for you all today from the play Pipeline by Dominique Morisseau. And yeah. I'm going to be playing Naya, Julian's ex-wife. Julian, who are you playing today?
My name is Xavier, and I am Naya's ex-husband.
And whenever we're ready.
I'm thinking he needs a change, a big one.
Yes.
Maybe he should come stay with me.
You and Sheila.
Sheila has her own place. That's not what it'll be like.
I don't know about that.
It's important. Maybe they won't press charges if we tell them we're changing his circumstances. I'll pull him out of Fernbrook. He'll get enrolled in a school in my neighborhood.
Or he can go here.
Here?
Yes, here. Where I teach, and have been doing so for over a decade.
No, not here.
There are some good teachers here.
The school is failing, Naya.
Was failing. Not anymore. They divided us into four different sections. We've been doing much better, and that's about student accountability and the school board. That's not the staff here. Not all of us. There's some good teachers here. He knows them. He'll be comfortable. He'll be here and under my watch.
But you can't watch him all day.
Neither can you.
But I can give him a better surrounding.
Better.
Look, don't do that. I'm not making judgments. Let's not make it about that. Let's keep it about O.
It is about O.
Look, you do what you can. I know that. And I'm not suggesting you've done anything wrong. But you resist. You and him. The offers I make, you can be proud. You can ride or die for this hood all you want. That's good for you, but that's not good for our son.
And you know what's best? Sending him away to Fernbrook? It didn't stop the rage. You can't solve him from the outside in. Don't you see that?
What does that mean, outside in? I'm working with the parts I get, Naya. That's all I get access to. He doesn't let me in. That doesn't mean I'm not still active. I work from whatever way he dictates, and he always dictates, but he's the son.
Our son.
And he can't always be the dictator. It can't always be a democracy. Sometimes we have to, and I tried, but it's like we're running two different governments.
I thought it was co-parenting.
Sometimes it's time, and I'm not saying you don't do your part, but I'm the man, not you. And he needs a firmer hand.
That isn't blame.
Maybe not always have a choice in the matter. Maybe he's had too many damn choices and he doesn't know how to follow a leader. He thinks it's him. But where is he going?
And you don't think a firm hand will make him suffocate? You think I'm too loose so he's slipping down the pipe? Which grip is best? Please show me. Please show me.
You always have to do this.
Do what?
Make this personal. Make parenting our son a personal battle between you and I.
It is between you and me. We made him.
It's not you and I. It's you and him. Me and him. Us and him. That's the deal. You and I without him does not exist.
Ouch.
No, no, not ouch. You don't get to say ouch.
I don't get to be hurt? I can't feel pain?
No, you don't get to do that.
Okay, that's fair. It was partly my fault.
I'm not looking backwards.
I'm not asking you to.
You broke this, not me. You. I'm moving on. That doesn't make me a bad father.
I didn't say it did.
You also didn't tell our son who the real villain is. And he thinks it's me.
I never let him think you're the enemy.
Well, he thinks it anyway. And now he won't hardly listen to me. Won't even respect me anymore.
That's not on me. I never bad talk you. If you're upset with me because of, that's fine. That's fair. But you and him and whatever is broken, that is not me.
Then let him come. Let him live with me. Give me that authority.
I haven't any to give you. You think forcing him is going to save him? Then do it. You want to dictate? Try it. You'll have a great rebellion on your hands.
Well, I can handle rebellion. It's you. You're the barricade. When you resist, he can sniff it. And then I become the enemy.
I won't resist.
I'll talk to the school Monday, first thing. That's what I'll do. Pull them out of school and ask them not to press charges.
Maybe they'll listen.
And then he comes with me. That's the deal. That's how we fix this. You agree?
How did we get here?
Ask yourself.
I miss you.
Look, I can't.
I know. And scene. Oh my gosh, Julian, you brought it.
No, you brought it. We brought it.
We both brought it.
It's been brought.
Yes, it's been brought, ladies and gentlemen. So good. So Julian, talk to me. So obviously this is a play about two parents. Neither you or I are parents, but we are products of public high schools.
Absolutely.
So what was your experience like growing up in a public school system? And where did you grow up?
I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, born and raised. Yeah, I originally was in a Catholic school when I was really little. Then my mom put us in public school, and I was there until I graduated high school. But it's crazy. I can see why, you know, the mother, Anaya, in this story is so worried because, you know, even me just going to public schools, you see the different traps and pitfalls that some people have succumbed mm-hmm. to. You know, it's tough. The school to prison pipeline is definitely real, and I've seen people mm-hmm. get caught up in that. There are some really good schools, you know, and I've been blessed to have some really good teachers, you know, and just the mother who cared for me. So she definitely made sure, you know, we stayed on top of our schoolwork. And, you know, I've seen bad things, but at the same time, I had a really good upbringing in the public school system. I've seen, you know, the good and the bad, but I just made the most of it. You know, I worked really hard, and despite seeing a lot of nonsense go on, you know, but it is definitely a real worry, you know, and I
can't
see why the mom was not wanting him to, the son not wanting to go far, but wanting him to be close at the same time, you know.
Absolutely. I definitely was in the middle of those arguments between both of my parents as well. My parents are also divorced, so I grew up with my mom, who had primary custody of my twin brother and I. And I remember that conversation like it was yesterday, which is why I wanted to bring this scene up, because it's so real. My dad wanted us to live with my mom, but still commute to a high school in his neighborhood because he lived in a better area.
Yeah.
And the high school that we were slated to go to with my mom, it wasn't a great area, like it's middle class, but it was a failing high school, if I'm honest. And I remember my mom saying, you know, the school doesn't make you, you make the school. And eventually she won that dispute against my dad. Off to high school in our neighborhood we went. Like you, I felt like I had great surroundings. I had a great friend support. I was really involved in drama club. And so that kept me busy after school.
Yeah.
But it almost just feels like what you were saying earlier, the access to the pitfalls are so visible in a public school versus almost like it's invisible when you're in a private school and you're in a high performing school. You know, as a teacher who's had experience in teaching both public and in a high performing charter school and substitute teaching in private schools around the city, both in Miami and New York, I see the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's even real, just like the neighborhood I grew up in is a reflection of like that too. In a way, I grew up between the Bronzeville and the Hyde Park areas. So like you can go in from block to block, it'll be like, oh, this block is like really nice. And then all of a sudden this looks like the slums. It's like people, you know, running around and it's like, whoa, it's just such a stark contrast. And, you know, being able to just exist in that and seeing, you know, what you kind of can pretty much make of it what you want, you know? So like, that's how I just kind of looked at it as, you know, when I went to school, you know, just make certain decisions, you know, it's so easy when you're in the school and then when you walk outside, you know, so it's always something that you can, that can like derail you, but it's really up to you to just like have your head on straight. And also too, like I said, I'm lucky that I had a good support system, you know. I had a family that was present, and I grew up in a single parent household. It was just my mom, but, you know, I still am lucky that I have her, and she was very strong, and because a lot of people don't have that, but I'm pretty lucky for that. You know, I graduated salutatorian in high school, you know.
Woo-woo! That's amazing.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't graduate salutatorian, but I was summa cum laude. I was up there.
Yeah, that's dope. See, we was doing our
thing. So tell me, this is a random question, but it just popped into my mind as we're talking about school. And Naya is a teacher. Shout out to all the teachers out there. Who was your favorite teacher in school?
Oh, my favorite teacher, when I was in elementary school, I went to Bret Harte Elementary, and it was like right across the street from the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, right by the lake. And my teacher, her name was Miss Jones, Miss Carolyn Jones. She taught different classes. Like she taught social studies. She didn't teach social studies. She taught like English, like history, like a few things. But she was just so cool. Like she was stern, but like so caring. You know, she was somebody that I had like for several years in my elementary school. Like I don't know if that works in like every elementary school where you have like certain teachers for a few different years, but like, yeah, she was amazing. And she definitely made a lasting impression. And also my Spanish teacher, Senorita Perez, she was from Spain. She came here from Spain, and she taught Spanish, and, you know, she was just super, super cool. But like, but definitely Miss Jones. What's up? Shout out to Miss Jones.
Yes, shout out Miss Jones, and I definitely want to shout out Miss Ferguson. It's funny you said elementary school. That's definitely one of my favorite teachers as well from elementary school.
For sure.
Yeah, Miss Ferguson, she was my fifth grade teacher. Like you, I don't really remember what she taught.
Right, she was teaching everything.
Yeah, she taught everything. Taught everything, and she was a Black woman, and it was just right. Representation matters in the classroom, and I just felt so seen and loved. And it was so funny because, so I wasn't a troublemaker, Julian, but I was like, I definitely wasn't the best kid in class. Just a little easily persuaded to stir some trouble, you know, stir it up a little bit. And we were writing a little hate letter in the class. And I forgot, what it said, but it said something bad about Miss Ferguson.
Oh, dang.
And all of our names were on it, and she called me out.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, Dina, come step outside. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
This is bad. And I thought I was going to get detention, suspended, reprimanded. But, you know, she told me when she, like, took me outside.
What?
She said, Dina, I see you on TV one day. I see so many wonderful things for you. Don't get caught up in the wrong crowd.
Wow. That's yeah. Real. She saw you.
Mm-hmm. She saw me. And after that, I was her teacher's pet.
Oh. No, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I feel like it was similar like that for Miss Jones, because she always would, you know, pick me to do certain things, like whether it be like super creative. I remember for eighth grade, like graduation or when we were going to sing, she wanted me to sing something. She just knew, she would call me out to do certain things because she knew there was stuff that I liked to do, like whether it be a talent show, like, oh, you should get in this, you should do this. She was always pushing me to, you know, share my creative talents and everything like that, you know. So
I love that.
She definitely was encouraging. She would always call me Mr. Bones.
Aw. So, like yeah. The young gentleman that you are today.
Exactly.
And y'all, Julian, don't sleep on him now. Julian has a voice on him. Julian sings, y'all.
It's all right. You don't want to be able to, you know, giving those vocals, those crispy vocals.
Listen, we got to collaborate again in the future on a track. But Julian writes his own music, and you said you've been writing in high school and then you kind of stopped for a while and then quarantine happened. Tell us what you've been working on during the quarantine.
Yo, like that just is something that's been part of me since I was a kid. Like songwriting, I used to take songs that were on the radio and like remix them with my own like lyrics, and then that led into me making my own songs, like creating my own melodies. I've just always been a fan of that. But like, yeah, I used to try to like when I was in high school, where I was like working with this guy, he was like trying to manage me and everything, and we would record stuff here and there. Nothing really came of that, but it's just something. Singing and writing is really at the core of me. So for the past few years, it's been something I just kind of put on the back burner and, you know, didn't really focus on it. Just being in New York City, you know, you're just going through the motions, like doing all the musical theater, the auditions, and just working, you know, trying to stay afloat in general, mm-hmm. just life, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, during quarantine, it just kind of was a reset for everything, and it just kind of brought me back to my passion. Like, for the first couple of months of quarantine, like, no inspiration at all. And then, like, boom, it's just, like, it just hits you. And in that moment of stillness, you just are like, wow, like, this is what really makes me happy. This is what I was, like, put here to do, like, write and, like, share, you know, these melodies and everything. So I just been really going hard, like, writing stuff and, like, recording. So it's exciting for me because it's been so long since I've, like, written. So now hearing and listening to what I'm writing now and like how everything is coming out, it's just like a culmination of so many different things. And I'm just excited about like the, you know, the growth from when I was like writing before, and just like, you know, I'm just excited. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're so excited to hear all about this project. And where can we find the details and updates on when it's going to be released?
Oh, I've been dry on social media lately, but y'all can still check me out on official Julian Bones on Instagram. That's pretty much the only one I use. And also my website, julianbones.com. Like some details will be coming soon. That's where you can find me.
I love it. We're definitely going to be checking for you and those vocals for sure.
It's going to be a little something.
I love it. And you're already a great guy and we're such a fan. So I'm sure they're going to love your music too.
I'm a fan of you.
Aw, Julian. Thank you.
Do your thing. This is so cool. This whole podcast, like, congratulations with this. This is super, super dope. I just love seeing when people, you know, have a vision and they just like go for it.
Thank you for saying that. It's been manifested on my vision board. I remember making one right when the city shut down, like the second week in March.
Yeah.
And I cut out from a magazine the word podcast.
Mm.
So it's been sitting with me for a while, and I just didn't know what I was going to talk about in my podcast, how I wanted to do it. And I'm not going to lie, you know, I probably had a little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, what do I have to say? Are they really going to listen to me?
Yes.
You know, and kind of like you said, in that moment of stillness, 4 months later, it just came to me.
Yeah.
You know, I really felt like it was the Holy Spirit saying, yo, you're going to do a podcast. I don't think the Holy Spirit says yo, but in my mind.
Hey, it was probably do. You never know.
Right?
Change with the times.
Uh-huh. It's this modern Holy Spirit, you know, exactly. It's like, yo, you're going to do this podcast and it's going to be scenes. And I just kept seeing the word scene. And I was like, wait a minute, like scenes, is it behind the scenes? But like behind the scenes, what? And then, yeah, I just started really digging deep and saying like, what is my mission in life? And, you know, one of my callings, I think, as a teacher is to make Black and Brown girls braver, to go after their dreams. The way for me to tangibly do that sometimes is being that example.
Right. No, that's a really cool backstory to that name. That's so cool. And it's just a testament to, like, you know, when you just, also to when you just really have those moments of like stillness and like, because we just are so used to, you know, before this, we're so used to moving around, trying to do everything, like, you know, be busy. You know, but like, it's just so cool that when you, this just shows us that like, you can just sit still and kind of let it come to you. You know, when you do that, sometimes it'll, everything that's supposed to come to you will come to you, you know, and it'll remind you like of who you are, like why, you know, you were put on this earth. And I feel like after this, a lot of people are just going to be moving a lot differently, just like following their dreams and like just this overflow of like creativity and like people finding new purposes and everything.
Amen. We're never going to be the same after 2020, and we're never going to forget the year 2020.
No, that's a fact.
Man, Julian, I feel like I could talk to you all day.
Thanks.
I mean, I don't want it to end, but we do got to go pay some bills. So I like to end my podcast with one question to everybody. What is your definition of hope?
Hope is, to me, just keeping that light on inside. Like, when everything else around you is dark, no matter what, knowing that you have a purpose, you know, no matter if things are going just so bad, you know, just remembering that you were put on this earth for a purpose and that you have so much more to give. Like, there's a lot of legacy that you haven't fulfilled yet. It's, you know, it's so much bigger than you. And also, too, hope to me is part of it is keeping your inner child alive. I think that is such an important thing to do. You know, so many people, they allow that the inner child to die or they just, like, bury it, you know, but I think that will keep your energy, like your spirits, like help you get through so many obstacles and everything. If you keep that inner child alive, because the child is somebody that is just full of optimism, has the eyes are wide and bright.
Yeah.
They just want to be happy. They want to have fun. And they just like are spreading joy without even knowing it. That's what hope is to me, just like keeping that inner child alive and, you know, keeping that light on inside, you know, no matter what.
I love it. Thank you, Julian.
No, thank you. This was super dope.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to hear more and become a part of our community, please follow us on social media on Instagram at as_seen_by_us. And follow us there for more cool and exclusive content. See you next week. Creative lessons daily, so no use debating.